can rewind it. You can rewind it. Rewind. You can rewind it. You can rewind it.
We gon' take it back to the future, over the top. E.T., Gremlins, RoboCop. Bring it back a couple minutes to when I was 10. Dusting off my favorite movies, gonna watch them again. Then VHS, yeah, we'll give it a crack. Do they hold up? Are they totally whack? Brock and Alexa, give it a play. Tell you to rewind it, throw it away.
Hello and welcome to You Can Rewind It with Alexa and Brock. This is the show where we watch our favorite movies from our childhood, then we discuss, dissect, and decide, do we still like them, and would we rewind them and watch them again? I am Alexa.
I am Brock.
And today we have for you...
1985's PG-rated The Goonies.
Nice. PG, right up my alley.
Yeah. So, story was by... Steven Spielberg, screenplay by Chris Columbus, director was Richard Donner, and pretty, you know, big players.
Mm-hmm.
So
definitely. I wonder what it's like to have the name Chris Columbus. Just wonder.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, it's funny.
This be named exactly. Right. The same as someone famous?
I mean, you know, as a parent, that's what you're doing.
Yeah?
I don't know. Okay, sorry.
All right.
I like Chris Columbus.
So, a synopsis. In order to save their home from foreclosure, a group of misfits set out to find a pirate's ancient valuable treasure.
You know, I don't think if our home was in danger of foreclosure, I don't think our kids would even, like, attempt to do something cool to help us out.
No.
Kind of like, oh, well, back to my phone.
Guys, we're going to lose the house. Am I going to lose my phone?
Okay. But I applaud these kids. They are being proactive. They don't want to lose their house.
So, what is your experience with this movie?
Saw it a little later than that particular date. But I remember liking it when I did see it. But I don't know when that was.
So... I saw it pretty early.
Theater?
No, not theater, but it would have been like new release on home video.
Okay. You own it?
Nope.
Oh.
And I liked it, but it was never a movie that I thought, it was never a big one for me.
Never one of your favorites?
So when people would be like, oh, you know, I love the Goonies, they would start talking, I'd just be like, yeah, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, the truffle shuffle or whatever we're calling it.
You didn't even really know much.
No, I barely. This movie barely registered with me. But most of my friends loved it.
This year I would have been overseas, so that's probably why I didn't see it in the theater.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But, yeah, I've seen it. I don't remember a whole lot about it.
No.
In preparation for this podcast, we watched some YouTube videos of... like, people going to see the site of the Goonies, like, going to the town and...
yeah, the Goonie house.
Yeah. So I'm interested to see now that I've kind of seen some of that stuff.
Yeah.
What that was like.
I'm actually excited.
So if you kept wanting to turn it off because that lady was annoying you.
What if she listens to this?
Oh, yeah.
She'll know
it's her.
If
you're a listener, yeah. Sure.
All right. You ready for this?
Yeah.
So, the song, what I thought was called Good Enough, by Cyndi Lauper, and I love that song.
That's your jam.
Is actually called Goonies Are Good Enough.
Is it always called that, though?
I don't know.
Like, if I were to pull up, like, Spotify, would it come up Goonies Are Good Enough?
Well, I mean...
I should test that out. Well, it doesn't ever say Goonies Are Good Enough, it?
No, if they had used it like...
Ghostbusters.
Yeah, maybe Ghostbusters are good enough. Gremlins are good enough. Star Wars are good enough. I mean...
yeah, it does say Goonies Are Good Enough.
I mean, that is so
Goonies,
weird.
But that's from the soundtrack, so what if I just put in Good Enough?
I absolutely love that song. Love that song.
Yeah, it's a good song. Cyndi Lauper's, I like her.
Oh, yeah.
I had her tape. And yes, it is always called Good Enough, by the way.
is also called Good Enough.
No, I'm sorry. It is not. It is not.
It's always called...
The Goonies are good enough.
No way.
That's what it says in Spotify. The Goonies are, with just the letter R.
Ooh.
Yes, very cool. Are good enough is what I'm finding. That's what comes up first when you type... When you're finding it.
All right. Well, I didn't know the song was even attached to this movie in any manner.
But, I was going to say something about the tape. My mom knew that I liked Cyndi Lauper, and so she went to try to buy me Cyndi Lauper tape.
Yes.
But it was in a foreign language, the tape. I mean, they were illegally dubbed tapes sold overseas, so, yeah, don't come after me. But anyway...
Bunch of pirates in
she
your family.
She brings it back, and it was Boy George with red hair. She thought it was Cyndi Lauper. Anyway.
Oh, my gosh.
It was not. Okay, so you like the song. I like the song, too.
Love that song. All right, so we're going to get the movie started, and we'll...
Yeah, let's do it.
We'll come back and talk about it.
Okay.
You can rewind it. You can rewind it.
Okay, so we are about 37 minutes into the film.
All right.
We're at the part where pretty much the Goonies are all together. Well, the Goonies and company, the brother and the girls. They're not technically Goonies, are they? So.
I don't think so, but I don't know.
Okay, yeah, I don't think they are. So I think it's now the group is together outside of the abandoned restaurant and the bad people have driven away.
Which, brave kids?
Yeah.
Slightly brave? Okay.
Insanely
so
brave.
You're going to meet the cast, which, by the way, Mikey, Sean Astin, so cute.
Yeah, he's adorable.
Oh, my gosh. And you know him from most recently for you?
Oh, yeah, from Stranger Things.
Bob.
Yeah. Bob.
Oh.
I like the way they introduced us to the characters.
Yeah.
I mean, it was cheesy.
Of course it's cheesy.
But you saw kind of who everyone was without having to go into a lot of detail. Like, it set it up for you. All during this car chase, pretty much.
Which, I mean, great opening. Great music.
Exciting.
Yes.
You got to hear the Cyndi Lauper song already?
Oh, I love that song.
You weren't singing it. Why not?
I was just mesmerized.
Oh, you're just enjoying it?
It was good enough for me.
And I already knew...
Yeah.
I already knew going into this how beautiful the scenery was from the YouTube videos. Actually, yes. It was cool because I did recognize things from...
That tour?
Yeah. It's
which,
crazy.
By the way, great... It was Oregon, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great location.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Definitely. It's interesting because the one person was not able to go up to the Goonies' house because they, like, do not let people up there and are very angry, have a sign, not welcome. And then the next video we watch, there's the guy, he's on the porch, he's... So I don't know what that guy did to be able to access the house, but...
Hey, dude, come on, look. You're the first person to ever ask me. Everyone else just tries to bum rush my yard.
Yeah, maybe he went through. Maybe he went through the proper channels. I don't know.
Come on in.
I don't know.
I know you love Corey Feldman.
I do. And if anyone has not read his book, Choreography...
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
It is so good. I read it in one day, Brock. One day. We never do that.
Read? No, I never read. You're right. Oh, you mean in one day?
Yeah,
no.
One day. Anyway, yes, I do.
I got through an article.
He's adorable.
In Entertainment Weekly.
He's adorable.
All right. I know why he was not. He drove me nuts because it's this character.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a cool character, but I don't want. Guys, just too smart, alecky. Way too smart, alecky.
Mm.
So I don't want that smart alecky.
Isn't that kind of like what you have though when you have a group of friends? You got that.
Oh,
one.
No. It's that, but that's that. That was the friend that always drove me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
That's him. Yeah. Always has a smart ass answer for everything.
Yeah.
That drove me nuts. Where it's like.
And then you always probably had the friend that was like, "We're getting in trouble, you guys! Oh my gosh! Oh, my mom's gonna find out! I need to eat. I need my snack. I gotta be home." home for dinner.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, yes.
So.
Oh my gosh. I'm the cute one. I'm Sean Astin. Oh,
so you're not the obnoxious one?
Oh, I hope not.
You're not the complaining kid with the...
Oh, I hope not.
I don't
think
so.
There's a little of me in both of them, so...
Yeah. I don't think I was... I hope I wasn't either one of them. Did you like Data's entry through the...
Okay.
Zip lining, which I'm sure as a kid I would think was amazing.
Yes. Now it looks so cheesy, but
yeah, cool. It was cool, probably.
Yes.
So I got to give it to him.
Yes.
And he went
yes,
through the screen
yes.
door, which is what our dog always did.
Which the mom's okay with. The mom's
well,
okay.
The mom was kind of upset with it.
She's like, oh, I see, you know, Data's
oh,
here.
My screen's
like,
broken.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. Really?
Well, they're gonna, your house is going to get torn down anyway, so what does it matter if the screen...
I'm out $30 four times a week. Can you please just stop breaking my screen?
We had a really nervous dog, and she wouldn't... either she was, like, so wanting to get back in that she wouldn't pay attention to the screen, and she would just plow into the screen door.
Well, okay.
Every time.
She's special needs. So if we were, like, to, you know... We're in Colorado at the time.
Yeah, that is how they described her. It's special needs. That
I would
her.
I would be like, trying to open the door for her, and she's a greyhound, so she's very strong, and she's trying to run out the door because
yeah.
I'm making her nervous, and I can't get the screen open, so I'm trying harder and harder, and she would just be like, I'm done. I waited, and she's through the screen.
Oh, yeah, definitely reminds me of how many times she went through the screen.
It was either that or she
knocked the whole thing
biting
off.
Me.
Good memory.
Oh.
So you had the brother. You get to meet the brother, played by
Josh Brolin.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't my brother be like this, always hugging me and being there for me?
I know. At this point, he's got a really good mix of pick on you, love on you. Care about you. And I asked you, your brother, is that something your brother would do? Like,
it's the scene where he's like
hugging him.
He just walks up and hugs him. You're aww. Like, would your brother do that? No. No. All of a sudden he gets him like in a headlock, kind of drags him.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, right there.
That's
that is,
what he would
that's
do.
It.
Yeah.
That's my brother.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get the hug before or after. It was just a headlock.
He's into working out and
a little much,
he's got
right?
his weight bench. He's got that coil thing.
Okay, his seems very loose because
yeah, did it wrapped all the way around his body. Have you ever tried to pull on one of those things?
Yes, it's not that loose.
Oh, my cousin actually had that thing that you put in the door and you hang upside down and do sit-ups. And I tried it once. Like, it attaches to your ankles.
So how'd you do?
Terrible. It's just like, but it was fun because you just hang upside down and swing on it.
I don't see you just rocking those out. Just, yeah,
no.
Yeah, 43, 44,
no,
45.
No, but it was fun to play on.
I see more of a...
Really? You feel like you're going to the bathroom. So, can you give us a couple more people in the movie that we didn't
okay.
bring up?
You know, you got Chunk, played by Jeff Cohen.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a lawyer or something in the mm-hmm. entertainment industry.
And he's like super fit now.
Yeah. And then, of course, Andy is played by Cary Grant, who I know. As soon as I see her, I'm like, mm-hmm. I know her. I know mm-hmm. her. And I knew we did a podcast on her, but when I saw Lucas, that's what I know her for, you know, for the most, is Lucas.
Right.
But she was also in Submarino.
Good movie.
Which was a great movie. And then Data's played by Jonathan K. Kwan, who was, of course, in Temple of Doom. And then Steph, Martha Plimpton.
Oh, she just has a very familiar face, and I think she's probably been in a bunch of stuff.
No, she's been in tons of things. It's not recent, but...
It sounds like from one of those commentaries we saw that maybe she didn't get along with some of them.
Corey Feldman and her, I think, hated each other.
Oh, really?
Well, that was in his book, Corelicious, or whatever his book's called.
Choreography.
Yeah, that's
I'm
what
sure
it
was. I'm sure it was. It's been a couple of years since I've... been a couple years since I've read that book.
All right, Corey Feldman, if your next book is Corelicious, I want royalties. And then one more. I just want to mention the mom, Miss Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
That's Marion Traynor. She's in Die Hard, Little Giants, and Monster Squad.
Was she the mom in Monster
Yes. Oh. But the way this movie is shot is so epic and beautiful.
It's good.
It makes everything seem so possible in a grand like scale. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool so far. It's really cool.
Well, it sounds stupid, but when I see it, I'm like, when I see this, I feel like that's Spielberg.
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to continue on, pressing on.
Rewind. You can rewind it. You can rewind it.
All right, so...
we're back.
Yeah, we're switching things up because we were getting sick, if you could hear from our voices. So we just finished the movie and waited to get a little healthier, and we're now finishing the podcast.
Yeah, we're feeling better now. So
much
we're going to try to just jump right in. I want to go back because I don't think we ever mentioned the people who played the Fratellis, the bad people.
All right.
Criminals.
So the one in jail, the very lax security jail.
Yes.
With only one guard where they run out, put their jackets on before they shoot.
Yes.
And they couldn't jump over a foot flame. Anyway, you have Jake, played by Robert, I'm assuming it's Davey.
Mm-hmm.
He was in Die Hard, Showgirls, very like recognizable face.
Right.
Then you have Francis. Okay, I'm going to mess up this guy's name. Joey Pants. But it's Joe Pantoliano.
Okay.
Something like that. He was in Memento, The Matrix. He was in La Bamba, Risky Business. And a lot of like mob shows and stuff, it seems like. And then Mama Fratelli. That's played by Anne Ramsey. And you know her from?
Throw Mama from the Train.
Throw Mama from the Train.
She does really good playing a villain.
She's awesome.
I wonder if she's like a really nice, was a really nice person.
I'm sure she was.
But she just plays this really grouchy.
She just has that look.
So motherly. The lady. Okay. Were you scared of her? Like, would you have been?
As a child?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Sloth was played by John Matizak, something like that, who was an ex-NFL player, played for like 6 years. He was in North Dallas 40.
Okay.
One crazy summer, and he died in 1989 from heart failure.
Oh, that's sad. Well,
hey, I heard that they did. Guys.
I heard they did the, like that was mechanical what they did with his eye and everything.
So one of his eyes was covered, and then the other one was controlled by remote control offset.
That's so cool.
They would tell him in an earpiece, they would do a countdown. One, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and he would blink so that the eyes would match up when they blinked.
Man, people are so smart.
What a pain, though.
Yeah.
And the makeup took hours, of course.
I remember being possibly, like, scared about his character before you really get to know him. And
well, of course.
His heart. He's a sympathetic character.
He's Frankie from Monster Squad.
Yeah, I guess so.
Don't go, Frankie.
Yeah, and then they befriends him with the baby Ruth. I'm hot and cold with the baby Ruth. Like, sometimes I like it, sometimes I don't. Like, I can take it or leave it.
Not a fan of the baby Ruth.
Yeah, you're not.
You've never probably seen me eat one.
No, I don't think so. You definitely wouldn't rip chains out of the wall to get one.
No. I'm starving. I'd be like, oh, is it a baby Ruth? Nah, I'll wait.
Yours would be some kind of weird, I don't know, licorice or something. Some weird sour candy.
Yeah, I'd say not licorice, but sour candy or Fifth Avenue.
Here's your Fifth Avenue.
I'm breaking chains out of this wall, B. I need that Fifth Avenue.
This whole movie in general is aimed at kids. It's for kids, and the believability is kids, I think.
Okay.
Because there's so much of it that you're like, what? Like, you just, it's like a head tilt. Or like,
I'm going to touch on that, my verdict, because
okay,
I totally saw it from that kind of
perspective. So, you know, okay, yeah, they find that the hideout. That was a really, I thought a lot of that was really funny, the interaction between them and the Fratellis. Yep. And then let's go to when they're actually, like, on the adventure. They go down into the thing. Leave their poor friend with a dead person in the freezer. Terrible. Like, ditch him. Like, you call the police. Of course, he's very unsuccessful.
Yes.
And they recapture him. And this leads to probably one of my favorite parts in the movie, which was when he's telling him, you know, they want him to give the location, and so he just starts telling him everything in his life.
He confesses everything.
Yeah. He's crying, he's confessing, and they're just, like, blown away. Like, they let him keep going.
Is no one in a hurry? Like, yeah, you just keep going, tell us about every wrong thing you've done, your little sins.
Although it was funny.
Oh, it's hilarious. Like,
what do we do with this crazy kid? I thought there were quite a few funny parts. Going even farther back to the beginning when they break the mom's statue, which...
And, of course, they put the wee-wee on upside down, well, which means it's pointed up.
Well, when it breaks, he's like, that's my mom's favorite part. So it's kind of like little...
It's my mom's favorite part.
Yeah, little lines here and there that were really funny. And, yeah, I thought that confession part was just hilarious.
Hilarious.
And then, you know, they go down in there, and there's all these booby traps they have to get through, which, as a kid, that was super cool.
Very... childish Indiana Jones.
Right. And
by the way, in this cave system, nothing breaks down due to like humidity or dripping water everywhere. Mm-hmm. The pirate ship is just like everything you gotta so suspend. Preserved. Yes.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't work without that like atmospheric dripping noise and like you need it to create that ambiance. So I guess you have to give one up for the other.
Well, as a kid, I totally believed it. I was there.
Yeah.
You know? The water pipe part where they are trying to get people's attention and the pipes just start going into the walls. You know, people are taking a shower. People are...
Okay, the water fountain.
Yeah.
How stupid.
Crazy.
I laughed.
Yeah. It was funny. It was very strange and...
Guys trying to drink out of the water fountain. Of course, someone's yanking it. The pipe down into the ground, so the water fountain drops down, comes right up. The guy like kind of riding it up and down, then it hits him in the face, flips him over.
Yeah.
But I laughed.
Right. And then they somehow come across a well. And who just happens to be at the well? Big D.
I'm about to say the guy, D-bag boyfriend.
Troy.
Yes.
Troy, yeah. Such a coincidence.
What, the name Troy?
No, that he's at the well right as they're going under the well. Right as they're going under the well.
But I love it because he's such a D-bag that his wish can't come true. He throws the coin down and it shoots back up.
No,
your wish is denied.
And then at the end, when they don't come up, he's like, let our mother worry.
Yeah.
So nice.
Okay, that is criminal, number one. Kind of like when Josh Brolin.
Yes, it is.
Okay, I'm not sure if father, son. But Josh Brolin, who was also in Young Riders. He was Hickok in Young Riders.
That was such an awesome show back in
the day. Yeah, I was holding that for a while there.
You're right, he was Young
Riders.
But
when he's on that kid's bicycle,
that's what,
trying to chase him in that car of the, you know, with two D-bag boys and the girls who end up joining the goons.
Mm-hmm.
But they grab him and go like 50 miles an hour and shoot him off a cliff on this like 8-year-old's bicycle. And then, I mean, that's
don't
criminal.
Check on him or anything.
No, these are some criminal behaviors. Mm-hmm. Troy was going to let them die in there because she broke up with him or didn't want anything to do with him. Criminal. Yeah. These kids are D's.
Yeah, they really are. And they go through, they do the whole like thing where he falls and almost lands on these spikes, but he's saved by his...
Yeah, that was scary, wasn't it?
His belt with the teeth.
His 007 belt.
Okay. And I forget what he calls that. He has a name for that. Oh, he has names for all of his little invention contraption things. You know, he's got, like, what was it, slick shoes or... I don't know, but...
Where he oiled the...
Yeah.
The log.
Yeah. And then they somehow all get down that way, because that must be the right way to go.
Obviously. I guess that's the way the map tells them.
And then they do the whole piano thing.
Okay. Do not remember that part at all, right? I'm watching that, and I'm like...
I actually remembered that one.
I did not remember that part at all. And I thought, wow, this is kind of a key... These girls kind of save these guys' lives because no one else can play piano.
Mm-hmm. Have to be able to read that music. So, why are you winking at me?
No, because I love you.
Okay. I thought you were going to say, because I might have been able to play whatever that was.
That's why you would be in my goon squad.
Yeah.
You'd be one of my goonies.
Oh, thank you. That's what got me in the group.
Someone's got to play piano. Well, and you're very nice to look at.
Oh, thank you, baby. Well... Then they find the mother load. Oh, and all the whole time, Mama and the other people and the boys are chasing them.
In pursuit.
And then in pursuit of that is Chunk and Sloth.
That relationship is so sweet.
Yeah.
So, a little odd.
Yeah, so you got them in pursuit. So eventually everyone ends up on the ship. Which was very cool. The scene with the ship and the water. Yes. Oh, the water slide before the ship.
Oh, my gosh, the water slide. Is that not?
That was something I had remembered
before. Oh, yes.
And thought was awesome.
Which is also in the Good Enough video, so I should have remembered that. Good enough for me.
So good.
Okay, so that pirate ship was built. Like, that's a real ship.
Mm.
And when the movie was over... They tried to, like, sell it off. No one would buy it, so they ended up scrapping it.
No. No one wanted it, huh?
That boat was awesome.
You know what? I bet now if someone would have saved it, that could be a tourist attraction.
Oh, sure.
They could, like, sit it up somewhere and try to commemorate it. And
I wonder if one of these major studios, I don't know who produced this, you know, Universal or whoever, probably wanted it on their lot, you know? I mean...
Yeah, that's pretty neat, but... I guess at the time, it's kind of a big thing to put in storage.
Yeah, it's just a boat. Yeah. A giant 106-foot-long boat.
So then, you know, in the end, they catch up to them.
There's a lot of coincidence happening at the end where everyone shows up on shore, including the foreclosure people who are trying to claim the house.
Yeah, and then they end up, because they have the jewels, and... What do you think of, before they get out, what did you think of the touching... moment between, I would say, Sean Astin, trying to think of what his name was now. My mind just went blank. His character and One-Eyed Willie.
Mikey.
Okay, Mikey.
I love that he's the only one in the cast that can pull it off.
I did it.
He's soft, he's sympathetic.
He is.
And he's so dang cute.
He's adorable.
I mean...
Did you get teary?
It made Stranger Things that much harder in my heart.
But did you get teary about the speech?
No. Maybe not teary, though. It was good, though.
The rest of them are like, wow.
Even Mouth was speechless.
Yeah. Okay, so then they end up back, and of course all the parents are there. They're worried, and they all end up reuniting, and then here's the foreclosure people, and then police are there. Everyone's there.
Okay. This ending is meant for a 10-year-old. Because it's so wrapped up nicely and clean to the point that Sloth is going to go live with Chunk. It's like, you're going to live with me.
Yeah.
No, that's not how it works.
Well, yeah,
he's a grown man.
Bring a man into your house, you don't really know.
You don't know his tendencies. He could be like dry humping everything inside, like ruining sofas and stuff. And you're like,
he could be violent or
something.
He's
got a good heart.
Well, you don't know, because he's only known him for a few hours, but...
But I didn't see Chunk ask his parents, hey, I need permission to have this grown-ass man move in with us.
I felt like the pacing was a little bit, like, it took them a long time to get down into the...
And then it rushed it.
And then at the end, it was, like, rushed. Yeah, like what
like,
you
that's
said.
Why it seemed like it was wrapped up too nicely, because mm-hmm. it all happened, like, boom. Everyone had to be right there on the beach. Mm-hmm. The foreclosure people, the police, every parent. So that might be chunked, I don't know.
Because we had read that it was shot sequentially, that might be why, like, they were just tired and, like, let's wrap this thing. We've been here forever.
Which I want to say again, and if I get the town's name wrong, I think it's Astoria, Oregon. What an amazing place to film a movie. Mm-hmm. That area is amazingly beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can go on YouTube and watch videos of people that
yep.
went to
location
see
hunting.
It.
Yeah.
And this is a movie that people love.
Yes.
This is a beloved movie.
I've said it before. I liked this movie as a kid, but this was not like one of my, like I really enjoyed it, but this was not like one of my top 10 movies that I always think about. It just was, it was in my spectrum, but it wasn't one of my favorites.
It was not one of my favorites, and I think I just saw maybe bits and pieces of it. I'm not sure I'd ever seen the whole thing, like at the beginning mostly. I think I'd seen mostly the end, so it was definitely fun to watch the rest of it.
Okay, so... We kind of know this movie is iconic.
Mm-hmm.
It's from 1985, rated PG. So, big market, PG. Cost $19 million to make. Do you think it did pretty good?
I think because of Spielberg being attached to it in some way, I feel like it did good.
So, $61.5 million. So...
Pretty good.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, obviously, $19 million for a movie is a big budget.
Yeah.
And so you at least tripled it in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
That's cool.
On its, like, original run, so that's awesome. All right, babe. Would you like to go first?
You sound so sad when you said it.
Would you like
sure, to? I'll go first.
All right.
So I think where I'm caught is that I don't have a childhood attachment to the movie. But what I'm trying to do is see it through a child's eyes, because I do think it was meant for kids. So I think some of the things that kind of bother me about the movie that doesn't really make sense and seems like super far-fetched are because I am not seeing it through a child's eyes. And so I'm just trying to do that because I think that's really the only fair way to do it. Now, I did have some really funny moments, and I love just the creativity of the camera work and how it was shot. Like, that part was really amazing. But the story itself, I don't know if it's something that I would say, I would tell people, like, you have to watch this movie. Like, I don't know. So I'm kind of on the fence about it. And I kind of, sometimes I base things off of would I watch it again. I wish I would have gotten the kids to watch it, because I think that would clear things up for me. But just for nostalgia reasons and because of how beautiful it was, and I kind of feel like I am going to give it a rewind, just not an enthusiastic rewind.
Okay, since we watched this movie,
mm-hmm.
I have watched YouTube videos on it. Good enough videos from Cyndi Lauper. Watching this movie, it's so funny. The gadgets with, you know, data, are silly and over the top. The story is so, like, everything is just serendipitous. I mean, it just all falls into place just so amazingly and everything. This is an awesome movie. If you...
I feel like you have to be a kid or have a connection to the movie.
Or have kids. Very fun. And it's a very family movie, except for 19 curse words there.
Mm-hmm.
Definite rewind for me.
All right. So, double rewind.
Oh, yeah.
All right. This has been another episode of You Can Rewind It with Alexa and Brock. We are on social media, if you don't know. You can go on Facebook and like our Facebook page. You can go on Twitter and follow us. Instagram, give us a follow there. We have an email, youcanrewindit@gmail.com. And we should have some new episodes coming out soon. We will be taking a short break, possibly for summer vacations. But yeah. We are not going away. You're not getting rid of us.
Unfortunately for you.
So we will be back with another episode of You Can Rewind It soon.
Thanks for listening. If I would have my Goonie squad, you would just be me and you.
Really?
You're the brains of the
operation. Where's the annoying person? I better not
like
be that
I
person.
Said.
I just answered my own question,
if
didn't I?
If you don't know who it is, it's you.
Okay.
You can rewind it. You can rewind it. Rewind it. Rewind it. You can rewind it. 4, 3.